We left off before Hanukkah. I guess that's already 3 weeks ago. Hard to believe, but we left off before Hanukkah talking about the concept of tam ki'ikar, which means that the taste of something is like the item itself. So let's say if I have a little bit of meat that falls into a French onion soup, even if I take the meat out, if the taste of the meat is still there, so it's as if the meat itself is there. So that principle is essential in discussing the laws of kashrus. Has tremendous implications for what happens when there are mix-ups. And so that really the important thing in terms of determining the status of an item is if there's the taste of dairy and meat together, but we discussed that there are different ways of ascertaining taste. We have the concept of bitul bashishim, of there being 60 times permitted versus the forbidden substance. So we talked a little bit about that and the effect that it had. But there's an interesting concept that comes in that allows for a number of leniencies and situations that comes up, and that's called a noten tam lipkam. Noten tam lipkam, when the taste that's given is not a taste that enhances the food, but a taste that is either, let's say, impotent or actually makes it worse. So on page 122, source 19, so Shulchan Aruch tells us that we apply the concept of noting tam lipkam after 24 hours. So let's say I have, we have dairy pots and we have meat pots. So I use my meat pot to make meatballs. So after 24 hours, we apply the concept of noting tam lipkam to say that even if there were taste to remain in the pot, that taste is not something that would enhance. So the Shulchan Aruch says in source 19, "Dera shebishal ba basar." If I made meat in a pot, lo yavashal bachal. So shouldn't cook dairy in it. The im bishal ba betoch meis le'es aser benotzein tam. So if I did cook dairy in it within 24 hours of having cooked meat in it, then it is any taste that's being imparted would render the food forbidden, right? And you have to have batul b'shishin. Rama says that you have to assess the proportion of the entire pot. But then the Shulchan Aruch goes on to say, if more than 24 hours elapsed between cooking the meat and the dairy in that pot, havalei nosin tam lifkam, that is considered imparting a stale taste. Umutar hatavshil. So then the food is permitted. So if I cook meatballs and I clean up my pot, and then 24 hours later, cooking some sort of dairy pasta in that pot. So after the fact, obviously, ideally shouldn't do that. But after the fact, since more than 24 hours have passed, so I'm still allowed to eat that pasta. But the pot itself, asur lashel ba lo basar v'lochal. But I should not cook dairy or meat in that pan. In other words, that pot would have to be kosher. So the food is permitted.
The
diavad,
it's permitted.
The food is permitted, but the pot should be kosher. So why would we say, this comes up a little bit later, but why would we say that the food is permitted, but the pot has to be koshered? Because the food did not, the food itself got the taste from the pot, which had stale taste. So that's kind of already a second degree contamination, if you would. Whereas the pot itself got both the dairy and the meat. So the pot I have to kosher, but the food itself is permitted. So this is based on a Gemara in Avodah Zarah, source 20. So here it's talking about the concept that you have to kosher utensils from that are acquired from a non-Jew. And this is something that is relevant in the sense that we always have kosher and tovel. Well, if you get a new utensil from a non-Jew, then you have to immerse it in mikvah. But if you get a used utensil from a non-Jew, then you have to kosher it. So the Gemara says in Avodah Zarah, and that's a din d'oraita. That's in the Torah explicitly. So v'chulan shenishtamish bahen anshelo yadpil v'lo v'shelo yagyo v'shelo yilabein tanichad aser v'tanya idach muter. So a pot that hasn't been tovled, hasn't been koshered. So somebody says it's apparently permitted. Somebody says it's forbidden. So the one who says that you might be permitted to use that pot would say that, assuming that the non-Jew hasn't used that pot in 24 hours. So if you haven't used that pot in 24 hours, so one opinion would say that nonetheless the pot is still forbidden. But the one who says that it's permitted would say that when the pot has not been used for 24 hours, so then you're allowed to use it, because we hold by the concept of nosing tam lifgam. So ulamandam are nosing tam lifgam mutter. So according to the person who says that you are allowed to use a pot that has not been used, that was used by a non-Jew, but not within 24 hours. So ki'ule ovde kochavin de aser achmana. So the Torah still forbade us from using their utensils. So hechim mishkachas lasso. So what case would that exist? So Rav Chiya Brei de Rav Huna says, so aser Torah ala gedera bas yoma. So lav nosin tam lifkamu. So a pot that is what we call ben yomo or bas yoma. A pot that's been, so ben yomo means literally it could be translated as the son of a day. So a pot that's been used within 24 hours. So then you need to kosher it. Once 24 hours have passed, then we say it's nosin tam lifkam and it's not a problem. So then the Gemara asks, mikan ve'elach lishtere. So why don't we allow, lechatchila? Why don't we, if we say that nosin tam lifkam is permitted, if there's impotent or stale taste, or the pot hasn't been used in 24 hours, so why don't we just say it's completely permitted to use it? Why require the koshering anyway? So the Gemara says, it's there, there, shein abas yom, mishum, there, abas yom. Gemara wanted to make sure that we're careful, that we're not going to think that, that pot was not used within 24 hours, when in fact it was used within 24 hours. So the bottom line is that we do hold by the opinion of nosin tam lifkam, that taste that's impotent is technically permitted, but we only hold of that b'di'evit. We don't allow that lechatchila. So we shouldn't rely on that, do it purposely. Correct. Even though it's not ben yomo, you do have to kosher it. But after the fact, we would say that the food that was, let's say if you cook dairy and meat, you cook dairy meat in a pot that is not ben yomo, that is beyond, where more than 24 hours have elapsed. So technically speaking, the food is permitted to eat, but we hope that the pot has to be cooked. Gotcha.
Even when it's not ben
yomo. Even when it's not ben yomo. Yeah. That's in Shulchan Aruch in source 19.
Oh. If you didn't do that, it'll get very confusing on what is that an hour fleshik pot, because you cook fleshiks in a milichik pot. Does it revert back to a milichik pot without koshering?
It has to be koshering. So practically speaking, we do require you to kosher it.
What? It assumes you're cleaning the pot too. It's not sitting for a day with the meat in it.
Right. If it's sitting with the day, so again, that taste might also be terrible anyway, but I think if there's actual meat in it, I don't think the mistake is that likely. The mistake is likely when you just see sort of a pot lying around or a pan lying around, and you're not paying attention, so you just pick it up and you use it, and usually it's been cleaned out.
Yeah, it happens with paste.
Otherwise, you'd be less likely to make that mistake.
Okay.
Right. So again, so Tostos in source 22 explains what I explained before. The reason why we say that you have to kosher the pot is because the pot was the original recipient of the forbidden mixture of dairy and meat. But the food itself, let's say, you know, I'm cooking dairy in a meat pot, so the food itself didn't come in contact with meat. Never really absorbed actual meat, whereas the pot had hot dairy, then it had hot meat. So the pot has to be kosher, the food is considered to be fine. This is when, of course, again, that it is the pot is not ben yomo, it's been more than 24 hours.
You just made an interesting qualification. You said hot food.
If it's not hot food, so I think we're gonna get to cold. We're gonna get to cold food in a couple of minutes. So we'll come back to that. Okay. So good question. Okay. So Shulchan Aruch says in source 23. So let's say I'm cooking meatballs in a meat pot, but then I use a dairy spoon. So the Shulchan Aruch says im ein hakaf ben yomo agder v'tav shemutarim. So in that case, the pot is fine and the food is fine. Because again, it came in contact with nosin tam lefgam, they came in contact with bad taste, but not with the original forbidden mixture. Bakaf asra katila, but the spoon should not be used, with dairy or meat. So since more than 24 hours has elapsed, so we wouldn't say that it, makes the food forbidden, but you really shouldn't use it until it's kosher.
What does ben yoma mean again?
So ben yoma means that it's been used within 24 hours, right? Yom is day. So ben yoma means that it's been used within a day.
So after 24 hours or within the 24 hours?
So ben yoma is within 24 hours, okay. Right? So within 24 hours, so you have real problem. After 24 hours, so in the case of the spoon, so you really shouldn't use that spoon. You really shouldn't be using that spoon. You should kosher it, but it does not render the pot or that you're mixing in, and does not render the food to be forbidden. So
if the spoon is not ben yoma, so that means it's been over 24 hours.
Correct. So mm-hmm. the Sifte Kohen, one of the important commentaries on the Shulchan Aruch, when it comes to laws of kashrus and other areas of Yeridea, so he says that spoon that you use, that dairy spoon that you put in the meat pot, so you shouldn't use it with dairy or meat, but you can use it with parv items. Again, maybe ideally you should really kash. You should really.
That's hot and cold.
What?
Hot also? Was this just cold? This hot and cold?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
So for parv stuff.
What?
You use it for parva items?
That's what he says, but Prima Gadam says that technically it's mutter midina, right? According to the strict letter of the law, it's permitted. But mitzad ha-minhag, customarily, I feel shard varim asar. It's forbidden to use with parv items. So Prima Gadam says that even though technically mutter to use that dairy spoon that came in contact with meat, that you could use that with a parv salad or something like, the custom is not to do that. So if a person's in a tight situation, so some of these leniencies come in handy, but ideally we don't want to start mixing things up and getting into difficult territory. So it's always better just to try to kosher things as soon as possible. But that leads me to the last point I want to make, which is not in here, but I think it's important to note, is that another very relevant application of nosin tam lefgam is soap. Okay, so lechatchila, ideally, we have separate sponges for dairy and meat. What happens, and this happened to me on more occasions than I would like to admit, what happens when you're washing your dishes and you started with the meat sponge and then you shift it to parv or whatever, and all of a sudden you're using the meat sponge for the parv utensils or even the meat sponge for the dairy stuff. So what do you do then? The answer is the soap is sort of, you know, when you're washing something with soap, It'd be one thing if you're using the sponge and there's nothing on it. So maybe then there's, you know, there's neat stuff in it. Once soap is involved, soap does not contribute a favorable taste. So we call it, so soap is no same time with gum. So therefore, it doesn't really, after the fact, it doesn't really matter what you use to wash that spoon, because the soap is not imparting any taste, that's relevant. So that's something that's good to know. If you ever use the wrong sponge and you had soap on it, so you're generally going to be fine there because of this principle of no same time with gum. So source 26, Tosfos, addresses the issue. If you just have some utensils around and you don't know if they are ben yomo or not, you don't know if they've been used within 24 hours. So Tosfos cites a couple of individuals, Rashi or Tam, the Ri, that we assume that they have not been used for 24 hours. That's because you have two, what we call fake steka. You have a double uncertainty. So maybe that pot was not used today. And even if it was used today, so perhaps it was used for, it had an item in it that imparts a bad taste or that ruined or doesn't have a taste at all. That would seem to apply. To us as well, not just with Gentile utensils. Although Beis Yosef in source 27 quotes a Rambam as saying that you have to assume that pasta, you don't know the status. You have to assume that they have been used within 24 hours. But the Shulchan Aruch, rules in source 28 that unspecified utensils of Gentiles are presumed to be eno ben yomo. We assume that they have not been used within 24 hours. And then he goes on to say, just as unspecified utensils of Gentiles are considered eno ben yomo, so too unspecified utensils that belong to us are presumed to be eno ben yomo. You have that pie. You don't really know when the last time it was that you used it. So we can assume that it has not been used within 24 hours.
But, excuse me, the utensils that are owned by non-Jews, we're not talking about meat and dairy here. We're talking about mamish treif.
Right.
You know.
Right.
So that's it's a similar koshering process.
Right, right. So once you have, at a certain point, it doesn't matter whether it's dairy meat together or whether it's treif from all that's non-kosher. So generally speaking, when we talk about those koshers, we're talking about the mistakes that we make with our stuff. But the same rules seem to be applicable also when, there's really two sections to Hilchos, kashrus as far as dairy and meat are concerned. We have Hilchos Basar B'Chalav, which is Simonim, I think, Pei Zayin through Tzadi Chet in Yardea, and then Tzadi Tet through Kuf Yud are we call Hilchos Taruvos, which is just mixtures in general. There it talks about mixtures that could be non kosher meat and, other treif items, but even though we devote most of our time to issues related to basar b'chalav, but a lot of these rules would also apply if you had non-kosher meat that gets into your pie or something like that. That would also be relevant. Okay.
I'm still confused about this ben yoma. So yeah. You have these utensils by the Gentiles. So you're assuming you don't know if they were used within 24 hours, but they're saying we assume that they were not used within 24 hours.
Yeah.
Why is it making that assumption?
24 hours is not a long time. So, your options are that it was used within 24 hours or it hasn't been used in 5 years. So, I mean, you have a whole,
So this is saying you're assuming that it was not used within 24 hours, so it's permissible.
Correct. Well, okay. Right. Meaning if an issue comes up, so then we can judge the situation under the assumption that it's not been yom.
Okay.
Okay. The next section talks about using treif utensils for kosher food. So that was, I think, the question that Simcha was starting to raise. So in source 30, the Rush says that somebody who uses a utensil from a non-Jew, you can immerse it and use it for cold food. Meaning you haven't koshered it. You haven't done you haven't done Hagala, or, you know, you haven't put in boiling water or whatnot, but you're still allowed to use it for cold food. Okay, and the Mordechai, says that when it comes to hot food, so rinsing would not be. Mordechai disagrees. Sure. Says that for that when it comes to when it's yeah. that you should be concerned with cold food, because then you might use it for hot food as well. So let's say I have a glass plate that belonged to a non-Jew at Trade Food. So according to the Rush, if I didn't kosher it, I can use it, but I put it in the mikvah, I can use it for cold. And Mordechai says, not, because we would be concerned that people might use it for hot food. There are rules in Shulchan Aruch.
Yeah, the Shulchan. But you know, you're mentioning a few shitas here, but you're not saying who we paskin.
Okay, so the Ramah tells us in source 32 that kol kli atzarich libun hagala, any utensil that requires kashering, asar lishtamish bo afil tzonin below hechsher. You can't use it for cold food without kashering. However, what that says, so the Shulchan Aruch in source 33 discusses a situation where, let's say, you tried kashering something, but you did the wrong form of kashering, right? You put it in boiling water instead of doing libun, which is a direct contact with fire. So he says in that case you can't you can't use it. And the Ramah says in that case you can use it for you can use the utensil for cold items as long as you've washed it and rinsed it. The dafka bederech arai, but only on a temporary basis. That's a cool that does come and come handy sometimes, that if you have utensils that are not necessarily been koshered, but they're clean, so on a temporary basis, you can use them for cold items even if they haven't been koshered. And same thing, by the way, would go. Let's say you're going to someone's home, and you don't know if they if they do tefillas kelim. You don't know if they they keep some form of kashrus, but their cups might not have been put in the mikvah. So in that case, you know, we wouldn't do that on a permanent basis in our own homes, but to drink from someone's glass, or even a non-kosher restaurant, to drink from a glass on a temporary basis, something cold, would not be problematic.
Can I ask a question?
Yeah.
Hi. I apologize if this is stupid. If you're at
no
an Airbnb, what?
No stupid questions here.
Airbnb, do you use their silverware in Israel? And the guide tells you, I don't know anything about the kashrus of the people who were here before you. You know, like he starts out the apartment with kosher stuff, but he's got all sorts of people coming in and out of there. Do you use his silverware? I mean, I wouldn't. I would buy paper goods, but I'm just curious. Could you technically use his spoons for your breakfast cereal? Could you, you know, yogurt, whatever? Again,
I guess for cold items, you could call that temporary basis, and that would.
Is temporary a one-time deal or a week?
So that's not necessary. That's not necessarily so. That's not necessarily so clear. I would think temporary is once or twice, but right. I think a week is already starting to get to be a little bit.
Right.
I think.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Thank you.
The Sefer Kashrus writes in source 35: any utensil that requires koshering is forbidden to use prior to its koshering, even for cold foods. But if one rinses and scrubs it well, it is permitted to use it in a temporary manner to place something cold in it. So that summarizes that portion of it.